This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Time now to meet At The Stage Door, your weekly recap on all things theatre here in Taranaki. Thanks to the wonderful team at Being Seen Media. Let's meet now at The Stage Door.
Welcome along to The Stage Door for another Monday. We're brought to you thanks to the wonderful team at Be Seen Media. Nice for you to join us. And with me in the studio today I have Taryn Uttinger, who is our staff member here, who also went last week to put her theatre hat on and become theatrically minded again, Taryn, as you are so often.
Thank you, Tracy. Morena, lovely to see you again.
You too. Hey, Constellations, gutted that I got to miss it last week.
Yes.
And of course it was on at the Fourth Wall Theatre. And
beautiful theatre. Yeah, favourite theatre in Taranaki.
Isn't it a lovely theatre? Got a cool vibe, really cool vibe. And I love the fact that it's theatre people who are running it with Brenton Raywan. It's just like they understand what the needs are of a performer or a producer. They totally get it, and it's certainly a wonderful venue. Nice to see that intimate theatre being brought to the region, you know. It's really nice to see that.
At the moment, it's just broken his hip.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, not good.
So he's out of action.
Oh, my gosh, that's not good.
Awaiting surgery. So sending our love to Brett and to Raywan.
Oh, no. All they need. Oh. Hey, tell me, what did you think? You went along to do the review of Constellations.
Yes,
so
I did.
I'm gonna pass the mic literally to you and let you tell us about it.
Excellent. So Constellations was a bit of a different play, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your typical love story. It's a story about how our lives can change depending on what we do in the moment, how we respond to someone, how fate works in our favour or works against us.
Mm.
It was unlike anything I've ever seen before in terms of the narrative. So what happens is there's probably, I guess in total, about 8 scenes in the entire play, but each of those scenes is replayed, you know, up to 5 times. So you see the same scene done 5 times in 5 different ways, depending on how people react in the moment. So if someone says something and then their partner responds angrily, then one version of that scene leads to a breakup. But in another version of that scene, if the person replies jokingly, then that scene might then lead to a marriage proposal. So it's all about the choices, the limitless choices that we have in the universe and all of the various different outcomes that can happen in our life.
Which is so true, right? You know, it does, you know, how a person reacts
mm-hmm.
does affect how your behaviour.
Exactly. So I've never seen anything like that on stage. You know, as actors, you make the decision, okay, so this is the subtext of what I'm saying and this is how I'm going to deliver it. Mm. And that's kind of the be-all and the end-all. But in this, you see the same scene play out in so many different ways. It's all about the interpretation and then what's the impact of that. So, yeah, it was fascinating.
So there's 2 in the cast?
Yeah, there is. So there is a female role,
mm-hmm.
Marianne, and then there's a male role, Roland. So Roland is a beekeeper and Marianne is a physicist.
Interesting combination, really.
Really interesting combination.
You were talking to me beforehand off air about the set, so explain that to me.
So the set was, you know, rather simple but very symbolic. Mm-hmm. So in the middle of the stage were these light sculpture that had been hung, and it was 5 or 6 hexagons joined together, and inside each one a different colour would pop up. So at first glance, when I sat down and I saw it, I was like, oh, that must represent the beehives,
mm.
because I knew that Roland was a beekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, cool, beehives. Clever. But it wasn't until later in the show that I was like, that looks like the symbol for serotonin. Oh, wait, that's a chemical formula. So the lighting display represents both Roland as the beekeeper and Marianne as
the physicist.
Wow. Yeah, both the sweet and, you know, the salty, the high, the low, the, yeah, it was just
all those slices of life, really.
Exactly.
Hey? What was the acting like?
The woman who played Marianne,
Lottie.
Yes, Lottie Butcher. Gosh, she was magnetic. She was so good. My thing in the theatre is I really like truth. Mm. I like truthful emotion. Same. Yep.
That's what. Yeah, gotta own it. It's gotta be real. Peel those layers off.
Yep, exactly. And she, her emotional portrayal of that character was so layered. And because we got to see the scenes so many times, you got to see her in one scene be, you know, witty and quick and clever and cheeky. And then they replayed the scene where she was, you know, like biting or angry or hurried. And then you got to, it was a phenomenal challenge for an actor, because you got to see so many different shades of light and dark within a scene, let alone within the narrative arc. And so she starts the play as someone who's like quite cheeky and talking about, can you lick your elbow? And if you could lick your elbow, then, you know, you solve immortality. So it starts out in this really kind of like whimsical and bizarre place. And then as the play progresses, you come to know that she is diagnosed with an incredibly serious condition.
Okay.
And she has to grapple with her own fate. It's palliative. Mm. So she has to grapple with her own fate and her decisions about her future. And so you see her go from this vivacious, amazing person at the start to someone who literally can't string words together.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. And you see that journey from her. And because the way the play works, it's not linear. It jumps in and out and in and out of moments. You have scenes where she goes from hilarious and cheeky and bold, and then the lights change, and then she can't speak properly.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
So it is, it's a wonderfully challenging role for an actor, and she absolutely nailed it.
Gosh, that's good. What about him?
He was good. Not as good as her, although in saying that, I don't know if the script lends itself to the male role being as good as the female role. But what I liked about him was the fact that he was grounded. Mm. He was understated. He had very like tender facial expressions, which kind of just gave her the room to shine.
Yeah.
And that worked for me.
And that often, you know, that's more actually, I think, if you get somebody who you can work with who is like that too, who's not out to be
upstage
pushing and domineering, as it were, just lets it happen.
Yeah, very natural. Mm. Yeah. Mm. So it was interesting. It was really interesting because I assumed, you know, a love story, equal measure, male and female. But that's not how, like, it's more her story. It's her story that he supports.
The interesting thing is that they're not professional actors. That's the other thing too, which is interesting as well.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So I knew they weren't professional actors, but I was kind of under the impression that they were semi-professional, but they're not. That she's in radio by day, and I can't remember what he does, but he has a daytime job, and this is something that, you know, they've done in their spare time.
She's not long had a baby too, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's a mum. Yeah, she hasn't long had a baby as well. I remember when I interviewed them beforehand.
How long ago?
Only a few months ago.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she said only a few months ago.
I admire a woman who can do that. A few months after I'd had a baby, I was still on the couch in tears and milk-stained shirts. And that was just Fox.
Hey, I'm going to jump the gun here. Speaking about milk-stained shirts, we've got another play that's going to be at the Fourth Ward. Tell us about that and why I've got you.
So that's called The Truth About Parenthood. And that is written by a local woman called Lauren, who is amazing.
Isn't she?
She is so good. And she's also just had her third baby.
She knows about milk-stained shirts.
Yeah, she knows about milk-stained shirts.
It's really hard to say.
It is. But so they are in rehearsal at the moment. And they open in December.
And, of course, the gorgeous Martin Quick.
Yes, Martin's in it as well. Mm. And I just know, like, you would have seen both of them together and the importance of being earnest out of Kew Theatre. They were incredible. So to see them together again, this time at Fourth Wall, in a play that she has written, and also both of them play, I think it's 5 different roles each, which is, a wonderful challenge.
Yeah, heck yeah.
And there's one male role in the cast, but Lauren's playing that, and Martin plays 5 female roles.
How cool is that?
I know.
Isn't that cool?
I know.
Funnily enough, I was talking to somebody the other day. We were talking about, when you go to these, one-person plays, how often, we were talking about Tangihanga actually, that's coming out tonight, me neither. Yeah, I know, it's really exciting. And they were talking about how they'd seen Gallipoli with Mark Wright in it earlier this year, and that was at Fourth Wall too, funnily enough, and about how he had played, I think it was 13 different characters in it. But they were saying about how the subtleties between the changes of the characters wasn't enough. It wasn't, and then at times they were like, "Well, which one are you?"
Yeah, it's a skill,
and it's not just about changing a hat.
It's not characterization.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought, it is interesting when you do tackle those multi roles that it does. I mean, obviously they did Stones in Pockets with the Fourth Wall too. They've done that recently as well, and that was multi characters as well too with
it's
Sam and Adrian.
It's definitely a skill, and it's a skill that is not always done well. It can make or break a show like that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The last thing you want to do is leave your audience confused about which character's narrative they're suddenly following. Yeah.
Well, you and I saw it in Little Theatre earlier on this year. It was a bit confusing too.
Oh, yes,
And I think that's it. You do have that. And if people are taking on these plays that are like that, they've got to be secure in themselves as an actor.
Yeah,
I feel like they have to.
There has to be the confidence. There cannot be any anxiety.
No, not at all.
In changing characters.
It's quite funny also too when you look at what theatres are choosing to do at the moment when we talk about amateur theatre, and that certainly I think a lot of them are, how can I say this without sounding horrible, that they're picking stuff that is quite advanced for their skill level at times, and sometimes I think that when producers or directors look at plays, they've got to have in their mind who they could have in there. You do need to have that, and if you haven't got that predetermined mindset of going, actually I really want to do this,
can I do it
because I know before I've looked at directing stuff in the past where we were going to have auditions, or we did have auditions and I haven't been able to cast it because they just haven't been there. And rather than just putting Joe Bloggs in for the sake of getting the show moving, I choose myself to not cast. I personally do. But
I couldn't agree more with that.
But it is quite funny, and I know we've all probably seen things, in the last 2 or 3 years, because there has been a resurgence in theatre, particularly here in Taranaki. I think it's been lovely to see, but definitely interesting to see what's around and who's doing what and what they're picking.
Yeah,
I see Opunaki is doing Vicar of
Stella's
Dibley.
Play. Yeah. So Stella wrote that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's The Vicar of Dibley at Christmas.
Yes,
That's a play written by Stella McCullen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so she wrote, I think she might have done 3, and she's working on a new one. Well, actually, she's written a new one, but you have to, but it's not Vicar of Dibley.
Yeah.
It's based on another TV show. But you have to get permission from the rights holders.
Yeah.
So they, I know that they are out for asking for permission at the moment, but yeah, it's taking a while to hear back.
I see Keeping Up Appearances being done around New Zealand a lot at the moment too.
I used to love that show when I was little. I used to watch that with my great-grandmother.
I loved it too, and it's quite interesting to see that a lot of theatres are doing that. I also found it interesting being in Hastings the other week and seeing what the theatres, because we're at the course.
What were they doing?
They're doing Twas the Night Before Christmas. That's what they're in rehearsal for at the moment, that little theatre
have done.
So they're doing that there at the moment, and of course Matilda has been done by the Braddock over there at the moment in Napier. But it's always really interesting. The other one thing which is, I see Hawera are doing, and also it's been done in Auckland at the moment, is the Pink Hammer. And of course it's been done here as well, and now that's been done in Hawera.
It's funny, how they seem to get on a bit of...
Yeah, they do. If it worked well at one, they will grab it and think, oh, we'll do it too, and mirror that.
So there's a couple of theatres I like to follow their choices.
Mm.
So one is one up in Hamilton, I think it's the Rivoli Theatre Company, and then the other one's in Auckland, is it? It's like Howick Playhouse or something. I like to follow their choices every year because they tend to have really interesting plays that they pick to put on. Because I do like interesting ones.
Yeah, me too.
I often say, and I make no secret of this, if I see another play with a couch in the middle of the stage, I'm going to scream.
I know, I'm exactly the same, Taryn, because I think you know, like, it's all very well and good and it's great to have fastest, because they do get bumps on seats.
They do. They sometimes, and
that is the reality. And that is it. We all know that. But at the same time, though, can people not look at it in a different way, slightly? Because you can look at it in a different way.
I know
I feel like you too. I feel like I want to vomit if I go and see it.
Yeah.
You know, and as at the moment, the other thing too, a lot of people seem to be doing, and I saw it in Harwood recently too, and I know I've seen it at different theatres here where they've had three or four different scene elements on one stage, and rather than changing a scene, they have the one set with all the different elements and it's split into different areas for different areas of a home, for example.
Oh.
And they're building a rostrum for this to make it this, and then this area is that. And it always makes me laugh when I see directors who pick plays like that when they actually could have cut some scenes.
Yeah.
Like sometimes, and I know I recently saw this too, where it was seen, it might have been 30 seconds long.
And it
was terrible. It wasn't even needed in there. Just get rid of it.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, peel it back. You don't have to. You don't have to do it.
What always, not to have a theatre rant, but what always gets me is, like, why are we building houses on stage? Do we really need to rely on sets to tell a story? Or can we use our imagination?
Absolutely.
Can we be creative? Can we focus on the acting and let the acting tell the story for us?
It's so funny that you say that. Years ago when I first moved here to Taranaki, and I had done directed a show actually in, it was either Stratford or Wilton or somewhere like that, a little place where I first moved here, and I didn't have a set and just had theatre blacks.
Fantastic.
And
my favourite.
Yeah, same. And I can remember them going, oh, but we need to have a set. No, we don't need to have a set. Oh, can we just... No, we don't. I want it really minimalistic. I don't want to have a lot of things. I mean, one of the best plays I've ever seen actually was written by a New Zealand playwright called Honey Kuka, and it's a horrific storyline, but... basically, a woman is about to go to jail who has murdered her partner through domestic violence. And the play opens up with her sitting on the seat, bare stage, just talking to the audience. And at one stage, they come out and they draw a body outline with chalk on the... And I loved it. When I saw it, I remember thinking, oh, my gosh, this is so cool. Like, it just showed you how this is what her life was going to be like when she went to prison. She wasn't going to have anything. It was going to be very minimal. It was a chair,
stripped
a table. Just absolutely, you know, and she wore, you know, three-quarter tights and a T-shirt. And that was it. There wasn't these big, elaborate, you know, costume changes and set changes, and the lighting was very minimal, and it just was simple, and it was, it relied on them as actors, and like you say, you know, like, yeah, same here too. I absolutely love that.
You know, if I want to sit at home and look at a set or watch a television screen project something, like, I'll just watch TV. If I go to the theatre, I'm going there for the craft of acting.
I totally agree. Totally. You and I could get on like this. We do.
We'd be here for weeks.
The poor team here. Thank God we're all a bit theatrical here at Art FM, because the simple fact that we do talk theatre, and when you and I get started, it's like, come on, we probably should actually move on. So insane that we move. We'll move on for another week. Hey, Taryn, thank you so much, and I'm so glad you got to see Constellations and enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed it, and it's one I've been wanting to see for a while. Because I've heard such good things about the script, and I think that largely it was handled really wonderfully.
Beautiful. Hey, very quickly, your pick for Reimagine Festival?
Oh, Tangihanga. Totally. 100% is going to be Tangihanga.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that. I will say, Little Gay Inn's probably right up there for a great night for me with Jason Parker, only because I've got to talk to them, obviously, with Behind the Velvet Curtain, and he was a sweetheart. Oh, my gosh, he was a sweetheart. I could just bottle him and take him home. He just was an absolute, like, he's one of those people who you could just tell, I would want to sit there with, I wouldn't even say a bottle of wine, but a bottle of gin probably with him, and just have a good natter and a giggle. Like, you could just have a real giggle with him. He's up, obviously, at the moment doing Priscilla in Auckland at the moment, and that's one that stands out for me. But there's some really cool shows with this festival.
Yeah, there is some cool shows. And what I really like about Reimagine is that there's cool shows in cool spaces.
Yeah, same.
Because theatre, to me, keeping it in a in an actual theatre building is elitist, and theatre should be
accessible,
should be in the streets, it should be around people, it should be in communal places. So that's the main thing that I really like.
I agree. Speaking of which, Creative New Zealand are doing that series of workshops at the moment about making theatre more accessible, and they're doing one here in Taranaki.
Oh, are they? Let's go.
I know, I thought that too. I thought I wouldn't mind going, because obviously with my involvement with Operatic, we've tried to do the accessible shows there. They haven't been very well supported. I must admit, and whether that's because our population of those who are hearing or sight impaired is not up to where to have a whole theatre full of people who are hearing or sight impaired would be phenomenal. Imagine getting to that you had that would be so cool. But we're not quite, we haven't got that population density yet. But how do we make it? I've always thought too, it's a bit like, you know, I've always thought that acting or theatre shouldn't be a rich kid's sport. You know, I've seen over the years of, you know, being privileged and being the kid who went to the speech lessons and the ballet lessons and the singing lessons. Yes, I did, and I loved it and I enjoyed it, but that shouldn't be what stops children from participating.
Because I wanted to do those things when I was younger. I remember begging my parents for drama lessons, but my family couldn't afford it.
And so many people can't, and it shouldn't be a rich kid's sport.
No, it shouldn't be.
You know, they do all of this fundraising and so forth for people to get sports gear. Well, come on, guys. You know, like, I know myself, you know, and there are organisations that help out with fees and so forth as far as exam fees goes, if kids want to do that. There are, you know, Malvina Major, and, immediately she does amazing stuff with kids for that and be able to support them. But it's getting through that hurdle to be able to get that funding, which is so often the case. But I'm certainly really interested to see what that meeting, that Creative New Zealand bring, what comes out of that, because it will be interesting to see what more support to make theatre more accessible to Taranaki. And
so
when you talk
about
something
really interesting with Creative New Zealand, just before we go, I'll tell you, they have an audience atlas, and they do a whole bunch of and it's fascinating. And one of the ones I was reading, it must have been last year's one, talked about barriers to access for people and why people choose not to go to theatre, and I think it was like the third most popular reason that people weren't going to theatre, behind cost as a barrier to access, and behind logistical issues. The third one was they didn't have anybody to go with.
Oh, okay. And well, they can come with us.
They can come with us. They can indeed.
Hey, we are going to have to wrap it up there, but thank you so much for your input today on the stage door.
Thank you for having me here.
And we'll have you back, don't you worry.
Yay.
Brian and Morris are up next on the number plate.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.